coming up on the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show.
How much can you really fit into your garden? We've crunched the numbers and we'll let you know.
Also, herbs that you should be planting that'll save you money.
And we have guest Nikki Jabor. She's a year-round vegetable gardener from Nova Scotia, Canada.
As well as your questions, tell your friends Garden Radio's on the air. It starts right now.
You're tuned in to the only vegetable gardening radio show in Milwaukee with your host, Joey Baird, who grew up in the country but now lives closer to the city, and Hallie Baird, who has always been a city girl. Combined, they have over 25 years of gardening experience who believe in simple gardening practices. A gardener for all gardeners, founders of the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, where they created over 800 how-to garden videos to teach others how to grow more of what they eat. Join them for the next hour as they discuss vegetable gardening and more.
It is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, wherever you may be listening, however you may be listening, whether on 860 WNOV or W293CX 106.5, through the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com radio tab, social media, the TuneIn app, or the Simple Radio app. We are live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to help you grow more of the food you like to eat. Next to me is my wife, best friend, co-host,
Hallie Baird.
We've got a jam-packed show for you. The WisconsinVegetableGardener.com is your destination for all things gardening. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and a whole lot more. Sponsors are what make this show possible.
So we have Nasala Kombucha as the executive sponsor of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Nasala is made in Wisconsin with local tea and natural herbs. Look for it in the refrigerator aisle at your local grocer. If you don't see it, ask for it, because if it's not Nasala Kombucha, it's not kombucha. Find out more at nasala.com.
We also, there's a number of ways in which you can contact us through the show. You don't have to wait till the last 10 minutes to call us. If you've got a gardening question, you're more than happy to give us a ring on our ivyorganics.com hotline.
Ivy Organic 3-in-1 Plant Guard naturally protects plants against damaging sunburn, insects, and rodents. Protects newly installed plants and trees. Shields pruned and damaged surfaces for use on your roses, fruit, and nut trees, ornamental trees, and shrubs. This product is non-toxic, environmentally safe, and organic. For more information, visit ivorganics.com.
We do a number of garden talks throughout the area. Today we'll be in Sheboygan at the Mead Public Library at 1 o'clock. We're going to talk about how you can grow in straw bales, and at 210, maximizing your garden space regardless of how much space you have available. We're going to talk a little bit about that on today's program. You can put on your calendar. We were at New Berlin this past Wednesday, had a great crowd on how to grow tomatoes. We'll be back in New Berlin April 12th at 6 p.m., that's Wednesday night, on growing potatoes in containers and in the ground. We'll also do the same talk in West Bend April 17th at 7 p.m. So to find out where we will be, where you might be, to hear us come talk about gardening, you can find that under the Come See Us tab under the on the website, the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden. Gardener.com. And if you have a garden group, club, organization, business that you would like us to come talk gardening to, you can contact us through the website under the speaking request, or you can email us. And we forgot to give that information out. The ivyorganics.com hotline is 414-444-5250. You can call that number at any time during the hour for your gardening questions. You can tweet us at TWVG, or you can email us at TWVGradio@gmail.com. And Holly has a special announcement for a few people.
Yeah, we want to say hi to Nancy, who has been listening, and also Joseph in New York,
yeah. And it's not just a Milwaukee informational-based program. And they are listening through the Facebook page, the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener, on Facebook, that links to the website here at the station.
Right. And then we also want to wish our niece a happy birthday. She turned 6 this week. So happy birthday, Sarah.
So we've got a lot to get covered in this hour. These hours go by very, very fast, and we try to jam-pack it in with as much information to benefit you as gardeners so you can be more informed and be better at gardening so you don't make the mistakes, and we've made them for you. So we're going to cover how much can you really plant in your garden. Now, obviously, that is a very broad question to ask, based on the size of a garden that you grow. Are you growing an 1,800-square-foot garden, are you growing a couple of containers on your porch, patio, or deck? We're going to try to cover as much as we can here in the first segment. Obviously, we can't be, you know, we can't go over every variety of vegetable and what container and how much can you plant. But we're going to try to cover as much as we can here to help you understand that it's not just traditional rows like the Victory Gardener or rows like agricultural fields are. You can do a lot of different things and get a lot of crops in one small area.
Right. So one option is to do the square foot gardening. And this is a very popular option, especially if you are growing in a raised bed or if you want to get the most amount for your space.
Now, square foot gardening was invented by Mel Buhlmuhl back like early 70s, I think. He's passed away now. But the concept and the technique is, let's say you have a 4 by 4 foot raised bed, 16 square feet. You grid it off to you so you have 16 1-square-foot areas. In each one of those square foot areas, you can plant a variety of numbers of the same species or same type of vegetables or fruits, and there's grids online for every single type. And we're going to go over a couple of them. Some of them you can plant a lot in one square, others you can't. So go over some of the square foot growing capabilities here.
Okay, so for example, you would want to plant one tomato, one pepper plant, and then
you could get 9 onions in 1 square foot.
And comparatively, you could put 2 cucumbers in 1 square foot, and then something like carrots?
You can get 16 carrots.
16 carrots. And then beets is 9. So you kind of have to think about what you're growing and how much space it's going to take. And then also how much it needs to feed off of from that soil.
Right. And, for example, you can get 16 radishes in 1 square foot. So in those 16 radishes, those radishes take about 28 to 32 days to reach maturity. So you pull those radishes out after 32 days, and you can put 9 bean plants right back in that square foot area when the square foot around that may house a pepper plant, may house a broccoli plant, something like that, or rosemary. So you can have basically 16 different plants in 16 square foot bed.
And one thing to note here, and we're going to talk about herbs in the next segment, but herbs are not all the same when it comes to square foot gardening. You can fit 9 cilantro plants in a square foot versus 1 plant of sage and then versus 2 plants of basil.
Now, I want to caution people that whenever you see square foot gardening charts, they may say like 12 leaf lettuce plants or spinach plants in 1 square foot. That don't do that. Mass plant or intensely plant. So instead of putting 12 lettuce plants in 1 square foot, broadcast your seeds, because they're very small. You get 1,000 seeds in one package at mygardener.com, and you have 50 or 60 plants in 1 square foot area. So you have a harvest, because if you're just waiting on 12 plants of lettuce to get mature, you're not going to have much lettuce.
So let's talk about, maybe you're not growing in the ground or raised bed and you're growing containers.
Okay.
And that's kind of a different idea. And so it's a little bit different. So you might think, okay, well, you can grow 1 tomato in 1 square foot. What can I grow a tomato in a container?
It depends on the size of the container. Number one rule of all containers, you won't need drainage holes, because roots need oxygen, and if they don't have holes or drainage holes in the bottom of the containers, they will fill up with water, whether you water them too much or it rains, and they will drown. So number one rule there. Number two, based on the size. So a 5-gallon bucket with holes in the bottom works well for a tomato plant. Ideally, a half of a whiskey barrel would be even better. But a 5-gallon bucket is fine. A 10-gallon grow bag is even better. And a pepper plant can grow you can put 2 pepper plants in a 5-gallon grow bag. Lettuce, you can plant hundreds of seeds in a grow bag. Now, when I talk about grow bag, these are these cloth containers that look like the circular with a bottom on it. That's cloth that can fold up at the end of the season. Rootmaker has the white canvas covering around it. Makes it very eye-pleasing. And they come in sizes from 1 gallon to 60 gallon, okay? So you have a mass variety of sizes in which you can choose to grow. Eggplant, one eggplant in a 5 or 7 gallon. We went over to tomato plant, one in a 5-gallon bucket or a 10-gallon grow bag. Lettuce, spinach, potatoes, you can get 2 potatoes in a 10-gallon grow bag, or you'd probably squeeze 2 in a 5-gallon bucket, you know, really to get your maximum out of it. Onions, you can get about 9 in a 5 to 7-gallon grow bag. So, I mean, you can go online and find hundreds and hundreds of different scenarios in which your favorite crop can be grown. And you can even do vine crops in containers. You just need the largest amount of a container as possible for those vine crops.
Right. So then another thing to know also is if you have a smaller space is to trellis what you're planting, especially when it comes to a lot of those vine crops. You want to trellis them, and it's good for your plants to get some off the ground. And then with tomatoes, you want to cage them or stake them. So let's talk about intercropping.
Okay, intercropping is a term in which you can grow two crops in the same area as one. Now, intercropping, you can grow a fast-growing crop in amongst slow-growing crops. So a lot of people will plant carrots, and then between the carrot rows, you space the carrots about 8 to 12 inches apart, between those rows you'll plant radishes. Radishes get done in 32 days. So you're maximizing your space. You're splitting the rows of the carrots.
But then there's also the intercropping concept of something like the Three Sisters, where you plant the corn, you plant the pole beans, and then you plant the squash. And the corn is the trellis for the beans, and the squash is a ground covering.
Right. The myth of the beans feed the corn, that's just simply not true. This is the way the Native Americans did it. But you can't plant it all at the same time.
No.
The corn, you got to get the corn established, you know, a foot or so. Then you plant your beans because they're very aggressive, very quick growing, and your squash all at the same time, and then they'll grow together. And that concept. Another, back to your intercropping, you can do cabbage, you can do herb, celery amongst cabbage, beets among cabbage family, carrots, you can intercrop carrots with radishes, lettuce, rosemary, onions, you can even do it with tomatoes, that's a little bigger crop, that type of thing. But maximizing your space is what I'm trying to explain. Even in a container, based on the size of the container, you can plant carrots, give a little space, plant radishes. Those radishes are going to outgrow the carrots, and you can pull them out and eat them and still have your carrots growing in that. Now, I want to talk briefly about polyculture, because this is a way in which you can control, you can get two crops. It's similar to intercropping, but it has an additional benefit.
Right. So polyculture is using multiple crops in the same space, providing crop diversity so that you have biodiversity within your ecosystem. Throughout time, we've lost a lot of different varieties of vegetables just due to, why would you say?
Selection of large entities forcing the commercial market to accept only certain varieties based on the longevity of shelf life or the easiness to grow those specific varieties of vegetables and fruits.
Right. So with that, polyculture helps expand that.
Polyculture, you can grow two crops in one area.
Right.
Right. So for example here, you grow a zucchini plant, and around that zucchini plant, you plant basil. That basil emits that aroma of basil and masks the smell of the squash plant or the zucchini plant, and that you have a much less likely chance of squash bugs or the squash vine borer or other insects attacking that squash plant because it can't get to it. It doesn't smell it because the aroma that the basil has around that particular plant, and this works in other scenarios, just like, and let's be real, you don't want to take a shower, so you spray yourself with some good smelling stuff. That's the same thing that's happening in the garden. That basil is overpowering the smell of the zucchini plant, and you're actually getting basil and zucchini in the same spot, but you're not, it's a great way of controlling bad insects without using insecticides, harmful insecticides, or organic practices.
It also can be a great way of attracting good insects,
right,
too.
Right. Let's go over just a real brief mathematical problem here of how much you can squeeze in a typical 4x8 raised bed. Now, this is some people, that's kind of the general size. 4x8 raised bed, 32 square feet.
Okay, so we'll do the beans one because right. A lot of people like
this. Is excessive, but this is what shows how much you can really cram in a spot.
Okay, so in that same 32 square feet, you could do 9 plants per square feet, and that's about 288 bean plants.
Bush beans.
Yeah, bush beans. Now, if you did rows, you would do four rows that are 4 inches of spacing, 1 foot apart. That's 96 plants. So if you think about that, that's a difference of 192 plants in the same amount of space.
That's a lot of bean plants in one area. Now, that's excessive, but beans are one of those plants that you can plant a lot, can preserve, freeze. Another scenario, and you've got to love radishes for this one, is a 4x8 square foot bed, 32 square feet, 16 radishes per square foot. That's 512 radishes in this bed. If you did rows, you would be four rows at 1 foot apart, 1 inch spacing, that'd be 96 plants. That's a difference of 384 radish plants. So, or that's a difference of 128 radish plants. So you can get a lot more radishes in a square foot method. And you don't have to have a raised bed to do square foot gardening. You can do it in traditional ground. Just grid it off and go that route.
Right.
So that hopefully that enlightens you. That helps, inspire you to maximize more of the space, whether you're growing in containers, raised beds, traditional ground, or a straw bale gardening. Also, you can do it that way. When we come back, you will have the opportunity to win another $10 gift card from migardener.com. You just have to have a valid email address, as well as we will be talking about herbs and why you should be planting them and what ones you should be planting right after this.
Tweet Joey and Holly using hashtag TWVG.
Do you have a problem with deer or small herbivores eating your vegetation? There is a natural solution that is safe for your pets and family. Bobex is the answer, an environmentally friendly solution to protect your plants, will not wash off, and is guaranteed. Bobex Deer was independently tested against 9 known competitors and rated 93% effective, second only to a physical barrier. Bobex can be used on all types of ornamentals, trees, and shrubs. Ask for it by name at your local independent garden center. Find out more, visit bobex.com. B-O-B-B.
The international food selection at Woodman's is more than just salsa and soy sauce. We stock a huge selection of foods and ingredients from all over the world. Whether it's Asian, Latin American, European, or Middle Eastern, Woodman's has it. Plus, each store has its own unique selection. With Woodman's, you don't need to visit multiple stores to get what you need. We have everything you need under one roof and at a great price.
Do you want your next raised beds to be easy, functional, and beautiful? The Embrace helps you create the garden you've always wanted. Finally, raised beds that everyone can assemble and enjoy. No tools needed. Just slide any lumber into the Embrace corner, fill with your favorite soil mix, and you're ready to plant. Made from 100% recycled steel right here in the USA. And a portion of every sale helps to build school and community gardens all across the country. Let the Embrace help you create your next raised bed. Grow beautifully with the Embrace, available at local garden centers and online at artofthegarden.net.
Hatch and Mill, 125 years of experience producing stone ground organic flour and cornmeal made from premium quality whole grains. Family owned company, continual standards that are non-GMO, organic at the highest safety levels, offering a wide variety of flours, pasta, baking mixes, flaxseed, and more, even kosher and gluten-free options. Found at most local grocers like Woodman's. For more information and recipes, visit HodgsonMill.com. That's HodgsonMill.com.
Hi, I'm John Lewandowski, retail manager of Blue Mel's Garden and Landscape Center. Now, I'm not going to tell you about our awesome dome-grown plants, our beautiful pottery, or our 40 varieties of landscape materials. What I am going to tell you is that Blue Mel's is a local, independent, family-owned garden center that truly cares about your garden or landscape project. So if you're looking for that one garden center that actually cares about you, come to Blue Mel's Garden and Landscape Center. We've been treating our customers like family since 1955.
Blue Mel's, 4930 West Loomis Road, 414-282-4220.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
It's the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, your destination for all things gardening, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, 840 videos, and a whole lot more, all for free, all to help you. Well, when it comes to helping you, there's no better help than having fresh produce, fresh fruit, drove right to your neighborhood. And Tree Ripe has that for you.
If you like fresh produce delivered right to your neighborhood, you should check out Tree Ripe Citrus Company. You can find out where to pick up top quality produce from tree-ripe.com. They have beautiful, tasty peaches and juicy, sweet blueberries. If you're sick of bland, mealy peaches and lackluster blueberries from your local grocer, Tree Ripe has what you need. They come right to a stop in your neighborhood, fresh off the truck, right from the source. For location and schedules, visit tree-ripe.com. They have locations all over, including Iowa, Upper and Lower Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, and right here in Wisconsin. Tree-ripe.com is your go-to for the freshest produce around.
And it's time for the giveaway for the $10 gift card from migardener.com. You just have to have a valid email because that's how you're going to get the voucher. You can be the fourth caller to the ivyorganics.com hotline at 414-444-5250. Jam your fingers in the phone and see if you can be the winner at 414-444-5250. They have over 320 varieties of flowers, vegetables, herbs that are all 99 cents. You be the winner. They'll ship it to you for free. You get to pick what you want. While that's going on, we're going to talk about herbs because herbs are one of those vegetables in which people forget to plant, choose not to plant, but they're so expensive at the grocery store. The quarter of an ounce or the ounce of fresh cut herbs that are not really that fresh cut, but they look like it and they're expensive. And it's so simple to grow them at home, whether indoors, outdoors, container, raised bed, or ground.
Right. So herbs are, like Joy said, they're easy to grow, and they're kind of fun to grow, too, especially if you grow them indoors year-round during winter. It's nice to have that little freshness growing in your window or wherever you can put them. So,
well, basil, I think, is one of the most common herbs that you can grow. And there's so many varieties of basil, or so
right.
many, I guess, fragrances, taste. What would you? I guess varieties.
Varieties, I guess. Basil is what pesto is made out of. And if you ever made pesto, you know that you need a lot of basil for that. And there's different types of pesto you can make, but the main one is with basil. So if you can grow basil, you can make your own pesto, and that's something that a lot of people enjoy. So that's something to think about. But there's many different varieties of basil. There's anything from lemon basil, lime basil, cinnamon basil, licorice basil, Thai basil. So there's many different varieties you can check out, ones that maybe you want to try with your cooking, see what happens, or just grow a traditional basil.
Right. I want to give the number out for the Ivy Organics hotline for the contest for MI Garden one more time, 414-444-5250, just so everybody catches that. For a $10 voucher, email is required. You have to have an email for that to happen. Now, chives is something very easy to grow. Takes about a year. I mean, you can get all of these that we're talking about. You can buy at your garden center. You can buy at Blue Mills that are already started. You can also start these very easily from seed, too. Chives is an easy one. You got onion chives. You got garlic chives, so you make your choice. And then once it gets established, you know, let's say 2-3 years, even earlier than that, you can take and divide that clump of chives and pass them out, plant them around the edge of your garden, give them to people. There's a lot of things you can do with those. So
right.
Chives
now,
is another.
You want to be aware, too, because they can easily
overtake an area
as well. So just keep that in mind. You know, there's no harm in growing them in a container if you don't want to take that chance of them overtaking.
Now, for a farm boy like me, I didn't know what coriander was because some of these vegetables have a couple of different names. Coriander is actually cilantro, but coriander is the seed of the cilantro. So I don't understand why they just don't call it cilantro seed. But anyway, that's an easy one to grow. But like we talked with Shauna Coronada a couple of weeks ago, the cilantro grows incredibly. It goes to bolt extremely quickly. The heat makes it go to seed. It produces the flower and it gets very bitter. So you can try to grow that more in a partial shade area, 3 to 5 hours of sunlight. We've been able to do that in a couple of locations, and it's worked very well. And dill is a plant.
Okay, so you want to be careful with dill.
Yes. In some places, it is considered an invasive species.
Right.
Okay.
But they do attract some really neat caterpillars that will turn into beautiful butterflies. But dill will take over quickly. We planted some dill in, what was that, a container?
In a container.
Yeah, and then it seeded.
And we turned that area that the container was in
into a garden spot.
200-square-foot garden spot. And the following year, In the next 2 years, we got 1 gallon, two half gallon mason jars of clean dill seed.
Because it just reseeds itself. It keeps growing, and it doesn't take over terribly, but you need to pull it out before it gets to seed. So if you're going to grow dill, we would probably suggest growing in a container. And
that was 3 years ago. It's taken the last 2 years to rid that garden bed of the dill. And we still have 1.5 gallons of fresh dill seed or dill seed that we've grown ourselves. So it's a great thing to grow, but you just got to be careful of what you have got. We do have a winner on the MI Gardener seed giveaway. So we appreciate that. And
so it looks like Lily won.
So we'll get that information.
Congratulations to her.
We'll get that information to MI Gardener, and they will get that information to you. Another one that you need to be very cautious about growing is mint. Mint has an aggressive root system, and some of you may have mint growing on your property right now, and you're regretting it because it can take over a lot of area very quickly. If you're going to put it in the ground, grow it in a container, bury that container at ground level so it looks like it's in the ground, but it's not really, because it will just eradicate anything and take over. And unless you can get all the roots out, chemical treatment is about the only thing you can do to get rid of it.
So then there's parsley, and there's a couple different types of parsley as well, depending on what you're going to use it for. And a lot of people like parsley, especially in things like soup. And
it's a nice, sweet addition to any dish.
Right. It also makes a nice garnish as well. Pretty easy to grow. I don't think we've ever had any problems growing
it. No, very easy to grow. And in some climates, and we've had it here in Wisconsin, some of the really mild winters, these will overwinter. Rosemary is the one that will overwinter if the conditions are favorable and the plant's large enough, okay? Sage is another one. Tarragon's another one. And thyme is a easy ground cover to grow. And you can grow these, again, from seed, or you can grow these from actual plant starts from bloomels. Now, if you're...
I just wanted to mention as well, we're talking about herbs and maybe why how to grow them and how to, be aware of what you're growing. But there's reasons you should grow them, too. When they're fresh, they're obviously cheaper to grow than to buy. But you can also dry them, and you can use things like lemongrass. We like to grow lemongrass. Or even mint. You can put that in a tea. I'm sure a basil tea would probably taste okay too, and so there's an option there. If you like a nice herbal tea, that's an option too, that you can make your own tea essentially.
And we've been very successful at growing parsley, sage, thyme, and basil indoors. Rosemary is a hit and miss, and we'll explain more of that in our question and answer segment, because we have a question about growing rosemary indoors and why it's not doing so well. But chives would grow very well indoors too. And when I'm talking about growing indoors, I'm talking about in a window, south-facing window, 5-6 hours of sunlight, maybe 4 to 6 hours of sunlight, minimal sun, but it needs some sunlight. And they grow very good, and you can continue to trim them back, and they'll grow as long as you have good nutrient soil and a good water. Got to keep these things watered. Well, speaking of watering, some people water their grass, some people don't. And when it comes to mowing your grass, you might as well use the best tools on the market and get the job done right.
Right. So do you hear that? That's your neighbor shaking in their grass-stained shoes, because Arians is about to help you step up your grass-cutting game. Your name is on the mailbox, so the Arians name should be on your mower. Heavy-duty steel construction, smarter, smoother controls, professional cutting performance. The only thing we love more than the smell of freshly cut grass is the sweet taste of victory. Arians, it comes down to this. Visit Arians.com to find your local dealer for lawn and snow removal equipment. Hopefully we're done with the snow removal equipment.
Yeah. Coming up after the break, our good friend and host of The Weekend Gardener from Nova Scotia, Canada, and multi-award-winning author Nikki Jabor will be with us to talk about year-round vegetable gardening and how to get the most out of your garden right after this.
Have a gardening question? Email Joey and Holly at twvgradio@gmail.com.
Oh yeah, what you say? You say Nasala kombucha. It'll put some glide in your stride and some pep in your step. Nasala kombucha. Yeah.
Nasala kombucha makes your body happy. Nasala kombucha makes your body smile.
The number one key to healthy, productive plants are the roots. Starting from seed to full-grown plants, RootMaker.com has the answer. From seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots, creating a fabulous root system, never again will you have root-bound plants, to multiple gallon grow bag sizes to raised beds. RootMaker.com has your grow needs covered. Visit RootMaker.com.
Do you have a little space to grow? Check out Greenstock Vertical Gardens at greenstockgarden.com. Greenstock is engineered to grow with its innovative space and water-saving design. You can grow vegetables, flowers, herbs, and even strawberries in just 2 square feet of space. Grow up instead of out. Perfect for the porch, patio, or deck. Grow up to 30 plants in a small space. Greenstockgarden.com has everything you need to grow in the littlest of spaces. Proudly made in the USA. For more information and to purchase, visit greenstockgarden.com. Beans and Barley Marketing Cafe, a neighborhood specialty grocery store for the east side of the greater Milwaukee area, where you can find all you need, from fresh produce to bakery to organic frozen dinners, from wine to fresh squeezed carrot juice, a health food store with hundreds of products, vitamins, supplements, bath and body items, magazines, cards, books, and a knowledgeable staff. Catering available, open daily at 8 a.m. The restaurant serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week with a menu of good, healthy, homemade food, including vegetarian and non-vegetarian specialties. 1901 East North Avenue, Milwaukee, 414-278-7878. And online at beansandbarley.com.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Welcome back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. So happy you have joined us today. When it comes to the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, your destination for all things gardening, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, social media, videos, and a whole lot more. Well, it's getting that time of month whenever you're going to look for a garden center to get your plant starts and garden equipment. And the official landscape center of Fox Sports Wisconsin is Blue Mills. And that's a pretty big title to have. They're also the official garden center of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener radio program. And they treat their customers as if they were family.
Blue Mills Garden Center, Landscape Center, is that place. They've been around since 1955, family-owned and operated. The owner of the business actually works in the building. That certainly says something. No matter the size of your garden need, Blue Mills at 4930 West Loomis Road in Greenfield can supply and surpass all of your garden needs. Visit bluemills.com or call 414-282-4220. Well, we have an author, Nikki Jabor. She's an author and edibles expert from Halifax, Nova Scotia, who believes that a long winter shouldn't mean the end to a homegrown harvest. Her first book, The Year-Round Vegetable Gardener, was honored with the 2012 American Horticultural Society's Book Award, and her latest title, Groundbreaking Food Gardens, 73 Plants That Will Change the Way You Grow Your Garden, opens your eyes to an infinite number of tasty possibilities. Nikki's next book will be coming out this year. She is also the host of The Weekend Gardener, heard throughout Eastern Canada. Welcome to the show, Nikki.
Hey, guys. Zoe and Holly, thank you so much for having me. It's great to talk to you guys.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy day and calling us from north of the border, Canada, and to share some of your gardening wisdom with not only Holly and myself, but our listeners here in the Milwaukee area.
Well, I'm super excited to talk gardening. I mean, gosh, I will talk gardening anytime, and of course, this is the time of the year when we're all so itching to get out in the garden, and I'm actually looking at snow piles on my window right now, but it's starting to melt finally, so I'm hoping soon I'll be out and planting in the garden again.
Well, one of the biggest challenges in the northern gardeners like ourselves and you is the unpredictability of spring and fall. What have you found to be the most successful season extender that you've played around with, and it worked very well for you?
Well, I mean, I have a whole bunch of different season extenders that I use because, of course, I am in Nova Scotia, Canada. I get snow. You know, again, here it is April 1st, and it's not an April Fool's Day joke, but we got like 6 inches of snow 2 days ago, which piled on top of a previous 6 inches of snow from a few days before. And our temperatures are finally starting to heat up, but there's quite a few season extenders I use that I can plant weeks and months earlier in the spring and harvest fall and in the winter. So my favorite one, of course, is the cold frame. Super simple, you know, easy to build. It's just a bottomless box with a clear top to capture solar energy. And it's amazing how much and how many different types of, you know, food crops that you can grow and harvest, you know, when it's not very nice outside. So cold frame would definitely be number one. And again, it's something that most people can build. Even if you don't have any handyman skills, you can even use like straw bales or cinder blocks or so many things to make the box of a cold frame. But I also use mini hoop tunnels. And this is the time of year I erect it like little hoops, PVC hoops in the fall, just from like my local home improvement warehouse. And so they're up in my garden now, and I'm covering them with plastic, and they're pre-warming the soil for me. So I can start planting things now. Spinach, arugula, you know, lettuces, all those cold and cool season vegetables can be seeded now. Again, even though we have snow on the ground, as long as I can create a sheltered area, I can start those crops now.
Now, in your area, Nova Scotia, Canada,
there's a chemical ban where you cannot spray or use any chemicals. How do you successfully control bad bugs in the garden?
Well, you know, it's been, my goodness, it's been over 10 years since we've had a pesticide ban in place. So, yeah, that means there's no weed and feed. There's no Killex. There's no Roundup. There's no chemicals in your vegetable, your lawns, your flower gardens. You know, you can't just go out and buy Daznon or any other type of chemical that people used to use decades ago here. It is 100% organic, which is, when it first was announced, there was some panic. You know, people like their lawns here, too, and they were very worried about dandelions taking over the world. You know, all these bad bugs, the population's getting out of control. But what happened instead is that populations of good bugs increased as well as the bad bugs in the beginning, and a balance was formed. And we had more birds eating those bugs. So there wasn't really a noticeable difference, you know. For me, I rely in my vegetable garden, and I have a big vegetable garden. I also rely on a lot of pollen and nectar plants. I include zinnias and nasturtiums and sunflowers and lots of herbs that attract the good bugs, you know, to help maintain the populations of good bugs in my garden and eat the bad guys. So that's a big thing for me, the you know, attracting the beneficial insects. So that is the best way that I do, you know, help prevent bad bugs from taking over. But I also keep an eye on it. You know, I'm up in the garden all the time. If I see an outbreak of aphids or something, you know, or potato beetles or cabbage worms, which I can't stand, and I get a lot of slugs, you know, I hand pick. It's never actually been an issue. I've never had an issue that I can't deal with, either naturally by hand picking or with, you know, encouraging the good bugs to help out.
Now, you spoke about the expansion of your garden. Now, for most people here in Milwaukee, this is a very large number. You went from 2,000 square feet to 3,000 square feet. Why did you do this, and what was the consideration in making this expansion decision?
Well, you know, my second book, Groundbreaking Food Gardens, I basically stocked 72 of my favorite gardeners from around North America and the UK, and I said, how do you do this? How do you grow food? What do you like to grow? Raised beds, you know, containers. I wanted to know everything. And so after I wrote that book and it came out, I kept looking at my own garden, which had been in place for about 12 years, and I'm like, I think I can do better. So last spring, we bulldozed the garden site, literally, and I saved all my good soil, and we rebuilt from the ground up. So we built 20 new raised beds, and I included tunnels and vertical trellises and all these wonderful structures to grow things vertically and just to get the most out of my space. So that book and talking to all those gardeners was kind of what really sparked me to make a change in my garden. And, you know, I got to say, the 20 raised beds, I filled them pretty quickly. And I'm thinking this year of adding maybe another 5 or 6 more.
You're crazy, Nikki.
I know that, for goodness sakes. But if people want to see the picture of my design, it's on my Savvy Gardening website. But, yeah, I just really like, you know, food gardening. It's my thing. And, you know, we grow most of our own food, you know, every day of the year. We can harvest from our garden. And I just really wanted to go bigger, and I wanted to go bigger in a way that I could garden intensively, boost my yield, and use up every square inch of my growing space.
And I'm sure if you could go another 3,000 feet, you would.
I totally would. There's actually a lawn, a clover lawn, right beside the vegetable garden, and I'm thinking, I could kind of take over a little bit of that. The kids are a little big for soccer now. Maybe I should just inch over and plant some garlic over there and slowly take it over.
You don't have to justify any of that to us.
I know, Holly, I know, thank goodness.
Both of us being in colder climates, what is a plant that you have struggled with in trying to grow, and how did you overcome it?
That's a really good question. I mean, I like to push my boundaries, of course, like I think most gardeners do. I am Zone 5, USDA Zone 5, here in Nova Scotia. I really like to grow things like artichokes, but I also love to grow crops like global crops, and that's the subject of my next book. A lot of the international unusual vegetables. So, you know, I start off slow trying this, you know, Indian cucumber or, you know, this melon from Italy and saying, well, I don't know if I can do it, but, you know, if I can, then it'll be a great success. And so I play with a lot of vegetables, and I've had so much success. You know, artichokes at first were difficult, and then I discovered, you know, the short season variety. And so we harvest, you know, armfuls of artichokes every year. So that was a challenge for me. But now, you know, again, I don't automatically assume I can't do it. I want to try it. And, of course, using my season extenders like mini hoop tunnels for melons and, you know, a lot of warm season crops definitely helps protect them from, you know, unexpected frost or cold weather, and helps me grow things with a slightly larger season.
Now, you spoke about, we talked about, you went to 3,000 square feet and you did raised beds.
Yeah.
Now, what was the decision that you chose to go raised beds instead of using the native soil that you had there?
Well, you know, it is partly the native soil, because all the old soil in my garden I scooped up, and it had been soil, of course, that I'd been working for 12 years with compost and seaweed and chopped leaves and all this, so I saved all that. The native soil, though, to keep using more of my native soil, it's pretty infertile, and we have very low pH soil here, so I have to add lots of lime to it. But raised beds, for me, it's just such an easy way to garden. I garden every square inch of a raised bed. The soil is never walked upon, so it doesn't get compacted. It doesn't invite weeds as easily as, you know, traditional row gardens would. It warms up early in the spring. You know, I'm getting a little older, you know, and it's better on my back and my knees. I think it looks fantastic, because I think a food garden should look, you know, beautiful and be a very beautiful, relaxing space that you like to work in. So I find my vegetable garden is very ornamental. So there's many benefits to raised beds, and I just, I've been gardening in raised beds for years, but they were always no boundary around them. They were just free-formed. So now that I have wooden raised beds, it just changed my garden game completely, and I was able to grow so much food, even in just a simple 4-by-10-foot bed. You can produce double the amount of food than you can in a traditional row garden by the square foot.
For listeners who would like to grow well into the winter but haven't, what is the biggest misconception you have found that causes people to fail?
That you can't do it. I think people are worried that, like, I mean, the cover of my first book is me in February outside in my garden, surrounded by snow, lifting up the cover of my cold frames, and then you can see there's like dozens of varieties of salad greens and root crops in there that look like perfectly green and healthy. And again, it gets, I don't know the Fahrenheit, but it gets to be like minus 25, minus 30 here, Celsius in the winter. In Fahrenheit, that's just really, really cold. And again, I'm growing the right crops at the right time. So it's the cold season crops in the winter with, you know, pairing them with simple season extenders like cold frames or mini hoop tunnels. And they do fantastic. So it's really not that difficult. A lot of people will see the cover of the book and they're like, okay, that's Photoshop. And when, you know, my publisher's story, you know, did the cover and put it together, I said, you can, you know, Photoshop my hair if you need to, but don't touch the vegetables, because they have to look exactly as they do in my garden. And that is how it looks in the middle of the wintertime. You can lift it up and see all those beautiful green. Smells like spring. It's amazing. So I would say don't be afraid to try new things, and don't be afraid to experiment in your garden.
Well, minus 25 Celsius is about negative 13 Fahrenheit for the Americans here. So that is very, very cold, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very cold. And none of my structures are heated. I don't use any heating. It's all the sun. So.
Well, you talked about your new book coming out. When's that new book coming out, and what should we expect? Because your last two books were phenomenal. I'm expecting no less than in this book.
Oh, thank you, Joey. Well, I am so excited by this book. I mean, it's 3 years in the making, and it's, as I mentioned, it'll focus on all the unique, wonderful, global, international, unusual, heirloom, you know, just awesome vegetables that I grow. I don't want to write a book that's already been written, so I'm always looking for different types of subject matter. And so I grow so many wonderful things in the garden, and we get to try so many great foods. And so that's what this one's going to be about. And I think it's going to be late 2017, probably like around Christmas. But, you know, it's starting to be listed online now on Amazon and places like that. And the cover I just shared on Facebook this past week, which I'm super excited about, because my publisher story, they're amazing folks, and they have a great artistic creative team, and I think they did a really great job on it.
Now, you've got the Year-Round Vegetable Gardener, Groundbreaking Food Gardens, and this book. Where can people find you on a regular basis? What location is the best for them to travel to?
Well, I am, of course, on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the time. But other than that, my website is SavvyGardening, SavvyGardening.com, and It's a lot of information on food gardening, flower gardening, good bugs, all that sort of stuff, and some fun do-it-yourself ideas as well.
Well, Nikki, so glad you've taken time to join us and our listeners to enlighten us a little bit more about extending our growing capabilities year-round, if not earlier and later in the season.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This has been such a treat to talk to you guys today.
Well, thank you, Nikki.
And we'll be right back after this with your gardening questions.
Have a gardening question? You can call into the ivorganic.com hotline at 414-444-5250 right now.
Really Granola is a small batch Wisconsin-made granola available at reallygranola.com. This granola uses many organic ingredients and features Wisconsin products such as beautiful red Wisconsin cranberries, local honey, and other delicious Wisconsin products. You'll find plenty of fiber and protein in Really Granola, which makes it a great way to start or end your day. This granola is baked in a Wisconsin co-packing kitchen that helps to employ disabled workers. Find Really Granola near you or to buy online, visit reallygranola.com. Mycorrhizae is a beneficial fungus from plantsuccess.com that will greatly increase your plant's germination, ability, and a healthier root structure. You can increase seed sprouting, root growth, and general plant germination. Mycorrhizae can be used with hydroponics, root cutting, seed sprouting, coca core, and soil. Plantsuccess.com carries powder, granule, and tablet forms of mycorrhizae. Increase the level of mycorrhizae in your soil for your plants to give them the optimal opportunity to produce an incredible harvest. For more information and to purchase, visit plantsuccess.com.
Garden seeds do not have to cost a fortune. Just 99 cents at migardener.com. With over 300 varieties of non-GMO, heirloom, and organic flower, vegetable, and herb seeds available year-round, pay less and get more seeds. Shipping as low as $2.50. That just makes sense. Go to migardener.com for seeds and gardening needs, tools, and special blend fertilizer. migardener.com. It's that simple. Family owned and operated. Mantis Plant Protection Professional Grade Organic Pest Control Solutions. They offer Mantis EC concentrated or ready to use sprays, certified organic and environmentally friendly insect killer. Gentle on pollinators and other organisms, but effective in killing soft bodied insects and spider mites fast. Safe around your children and pets. They also have the cleanest and whitest diatomaceous earth on the market. Visit mantispp.com to receive a free organic pesticide cheat sheet, which is a list of organic insecticides that are used effectively and kills insects fast. Visit mantispp.com to download it today.
I want a garden center that listens to and understands my needs.
I want to buy my gardening products from a local business with strong ties to the community.
All I want is a garden center that truly values their customers.
It seems like everyone is selling plants these days, but I'm having a hard time finding quality.
I take pride in my garden, so I want my garden center to take pride in their products.
Where will you be going for all of your gardening needs this season? Blue Mel's Garden Center. We are your answer.
Blue Mel's, 4930 West Loomis Road, 414-282-4220.
Here's two gardeners that understand common sense.
How effective is that, really?
Well, that's about as effective as a screen door on a submarine.
Joey and Holly Baird.
Welcome back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. That is correct. Screen doors and submarines do not work very well together. The WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, your destination for all things gardening. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, 840 videos, free digital magazines, and a whole lot more.
So if you do have a question right now, you can call on the ivyorganic.com hotline at 414-444-5250. Ivy Organic 3-in-1 Plant Guard naturally protects plants against damaging sunburn, insects, and rodents. Protects newly installed plants and trees, shields pruned and damaged surfaces for use on your roses, fruit and nut trees, ornamental trees, and shrubs. This product is non-toxic, environmentally safe, and organic. For more information, visit ivyorganics.com. And we had a question come in on one of our breaks about diatomaceous earth.
Diatomaceous earth. And we do have a phone number because it is available on their website. Diatomaceous earth, explain a little bit, Holly, about what diatomaceous earth is. There's food-grade diatomaceous earth, and there's non-food-grade, and it can you apply it around the plants or on the plants, and it can the bugs will eat it, and it will control bug populations. And the question was, I believe it was indoors, had some...
I think she had some houseplants, right?
I believe that was
and
right.
And diatomaceous earth is also, people use it for, ant control, too, all sorts of pest control, essentially. And then some people, the food grade, they'll even eat it for different things. So if you're not familiar with diatomaceous earth, it's something to look into. But they wanted to, I guess they had some unsuccessful. They bought some DE, diatomaceous earth DE, and they were unsuccessful. So then they heard it on one of our ads, Mantis Plant Protection. So if you go to mantisplantprotection.com, they do sell that there along with
We'll give you the phone number now, and then we'll wait a few minutes for you to make sure you get a pin, and we'll give you a phone number again. But the phone number for Mantis Plant Protection is
928-580-4162, and it's mantisplantprotection.com. There's also an email address listed there as well, and you can give them a call, visit their website, and they also have other pest control things, but they do have that DE, and it's really pure.
Right, and it's available on Amazon. We'll give that number to you in just a few more moments to make sure you did receive the phone number correctly. So we did have a question come in from Paula on our home canning Facebook page this week in regards to...
Okay, so a lot of people are now getting the Instapot or the Instant Pots, which is essentially a pressure cooker, but it cooks your meats and things very quickly. So that's why a lot of people like it, especially if you're working or whatnot. But since it is a pressure cooker situation, she wanted to know if the Instapot can be used for canning because she's trying to decide what she wants to purchase. And no, the Instapot is not good for canning. The reason being is that there's no way to actually control the pressure. With the electronic settings, there's no way to vent it and then to calibrate it correctly to achieve and sustain the correct temperatures needed for canning. And if you have any questions about that, I can certainly answer them.
At twvgradio@gmail.com.
And I did consult the Milwaukee County Master Canner for that answer. So that is good information.
All right. Now, can I grow watermelons in containers, and if so, how large of a container do I need? Well, the answer is yes, you can grow watermelons in containers. I would recommend at least a 20-gallon grow bag or 20-gallon capacity or even a half of a whiskey barrel would be ideal because they need a lot of root space. They need a lot of water. Watermelons are 90%+ water, so you want to have a lot of mass of soil and in order to allow the plants to have enough water, you need a lot of soil mass. So at least a 20, 30-gallon grow bag, even we did in straw bales, and it worked really, really well last year. So a straw bale, properly hydrated, make sure you have, put the water to it, and we got watermelons last year. It was worked out really nice. Holly, would you give Mantis's phone number one more time to make sure everybody gets it?
Sure. So if you have any questions, again, it's mantisplantprotection.com, or you can call 928-580-4162, and then you can talk with him if you have any questions.
They're out of Arizona, the Arizona area.
Okay.
Now,
so then
Since
we were talking about herbs, the chive question from John in Grafton, and he purchased a house last fall. He didn't know what was going to come up in the yard this spring, and now he's just got chives everywhere. So he actually sent me a couple pictures, and he's gonna have to dig them up. If you have a lot of chives, you basically have to dig them up. You can replant them somewhere else, or you can just get rid of them. But that is, if you have a lot of chives that come up, digging them up and moving them is your best bet.
Chemical application does work, but again, you're in a vegetable garden, and by applying harmful chemicals to kill those,
or if they're in a flower bed or anything, you're gonna kill everything in that bed.
Right, you don't want to do that. So yeah, dig them up, divide them, take them to your church, your gatherings, divide them because people like free plants. To a certain extent, people like free plants, and then in the summertime, people only like you until they've had enough zucchini that you've offered them, and then they lock the doors and they don't want you to come over anymore. And some of you know what I'm talking about when you've planted too many zucchinis. So
why don't we touch on the rosemary?
Rosemary,
since
right.
We're talking about herbs.
The rosemary.
So question. I have a rosemary plant indoors. It is a small bush, and it's turning brown and dying out. What is wrong? Or drying, and what is wrong?
Rosemary is one of those plants, one of those herbs that just really doesn't like to be indoors. No matter what you've done, we had this happen a couple years ago. We had a rosemary plant. We started from seed. It was about 2 years old, got about a foot high, and just started dying off. It had adequate water. It wasn't too wet. It wasn't too dry. But rosemary just does not like to be indoors for whatever reason. And some people are able to fidget that to make it last longer. Other ones, it just doesn't work. So if you can get that plant established or buy it from the Garden Center Bluemels, you can go ahead and get it and move it outside. We got a tweet come in. Karen is from Chicago is listening to us on Twitter. So that we thank you for listening, Karen, in Chicago. We hope that some of our information is valid for you up there in the Windy City. So, Rosemary.
That would be down there in the Windy
City. Oh, down there in the Windy City, yeah. It's windy. That's all I know. But, yeah, rosemary, it just doesn't work well indoors. You can get it established, but take it outside and try to turn it into a perennial. Let it grow all the time outdoors.
Right. Well, you could grow it for a little while, but it's not gonna be so good after a while. Okay, so other question is, we did a tomato talk in New Berlin this past Wednesday, and we'll be back there the 12th for potatoes. But they wanted to know, they said, I'm starting tomato seeds. What is a good variety you recommend growing here in Wisconsin?
Well, there's about 5,000 to 10,000 different varieties available in the market. What I would recommend, and this is from, first of all, what are you wanting to do with your tomatoes? Are you wanting to eat them? Are you wanting to can them? Are you wanting to use them for stir fries? Whatever. Okay, so cherry variety tomatoes do very, very well. Heirloom, organic, hybrids, all cherry varieties do really, really well. We've had very good success with just little red cherry. We've had very good success with yellow plum, Cherokee purple cherry varieties, that type of thing, done very well. We've never had a bad cherry variety. Snowball is a white tomato, done very well.
What was that variety that guy from Iowa sent us?
Elkhart Polish.
Okay.
And that was a big beefsteak.
Eckert
Polish.
And those did really well, too. So that's
a big beefsteak, salmon slicing.
Right.
Now, if we go on the large tomatoes, Black Crème has always been a go-to for us. It doesn't matter if it's hot, dry, cold. They've always produced. Hillbilly is another good one. Juliet, I've heard, is very good. Wisconsin 55 is a smaller, about a little larger than a golf ball.
And if you can't find that, there's an Ace 55 that does well, too.
Right. Brandywines are incredibly well, but what you lose in quantity, you make up in quality with the Brandywines. If you want to have a specific color, you can pick whatever color tomato you want. Giant White has been a very good one for us. We grew it for the first time last year. It's a white tomato that turns off white as it gets super ripe, and it's phenomenal. Just the sweetest tomato you've eaten.
And then I had another question from a friend, and they wanted to know growing potatoes in a container. And since we were talking about growing in containers and maximizing your garden space, what would you recommend, Joey, if you're going to grow potatoes in a container? How many would you put in a container? What size?
10-gallon grow bag, 3 potatoes, 15-gallon grow bag, 4 potatoes, 20-gallon grow bag, 5 potatoes, space them evenly would be the recommendations for that. Well, a lot of what makes this show possible are the companies that you hear throughout the program, and you can find under the radio tab on our website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.
So Nassal Kombucha is the executive sponsor of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Nassal is made in Wisconsin with their local tea and natural herbs. Look for it in the refrigerator aisle at your local grocer. If you don't see it, ask for it, because if it's not Nassal Kombucha, it's not kombucha. For more information, visit nassala.com.
And again, we hope to see you today at Mead Public Library in Sheboygan. If we don't see you there, mark it on your calendar for April 12th at New Berlin on growing potatoes, or in West Bend on the 17th of April for growing potatoes at 7 p.m. in West Bend, 6 p.m. in New Berlin.
And if you want to look ahead on our website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, on the Come See Us tab, we have a bunch of talks in May.
We've had total this year, 25.
Yeah.
And again, if you've got a group of any sort, business, you want us to come talk at, feel free to send us an email at twvgradio@gmail.com. Programming note for next week, do not forget to tune in. Tell your friends, because you, the listeners, are what are making this show possible. By you telling your friends that Garden Radio is back on the airways after 11 years, that is what makes us happy, because we've tried to reach out to the media as much as we can, and they just don't think it's a very a program or a story that a lot of people would be interested in, which I find fascinating. Next week, we're going to talk about the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen, what you need to know before you buy inorganic produce. We're going to talk about what the difference is between chemical fertilizers and organic fertilizers, And if you love roses, let your Rosarian friends tune in. Tell them about that. We're going to have Rosarians and hosts of Rose Chat Radio, Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byrington, on the program to talk all about roses. So if you got rose questions, twvgradio@gmail.com.
And if you ever have any garden questions throughout the week, feel free to go ahead and email us, tweet us, get us a hold of us on Facebook.
So until next week.
I'm Holly Baird.
And I'm Joy Baird. And we will see you in the garden.
WNOV 860 and W293CX 106.5, Milwaukee.